It's Tuesday, January 27th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Here we got a great show for you, and yes, it's just a few days away from me going to the land of Japan. So strap in, got a great one for you. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii, from the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. You are listening to the Geek News Central Podcast. You can find Geek News Central over at geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, check out our archive podcast available via the podcast link on the website. Of course, you'll definitely want to sign up for our newsletter so that you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. That newsletter will contain everything that I talk about tonight, including all of the listener-submitted articles. So make sure you get signed up for that. I know a lot of you have, and many of you continue to do so. If you're new, of course, new to the show, hey, welcome to the podcast. Of course, all the longtime listeners, I want to give a strong welcome out there to all of the Ohana. And, of course, this show is recorded being as live as it can be here in Hawaii. The Ohana is the family of the podcast, family of listeners, and a very integral part of this show. So if you're having an urge to send a comment about today's commentary, send it to geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Well, I tell you, folks, it's been a very, very busy few days. As always, you know, when isn't it busy? I was talking with my mom, I guess, two nights ago. Matter of fact, she flew out today back to the mainland, and she's, matter of fact, airborne right now on Delta, heading towards Atlanta. And I told her, I says, you know, I just never get a break. You know, the vacation I had last year was nice. But it's just one thing after the other, you know, everything going on with Raw Voice, things going on with the podcast, it's just things with the family. There's hardly ever time to breathe. And it's just, you know, she goes, well, she said, honey, if you had two or three days off, you'd just about go nuts. You wouldn't know what to do with yourself. And I think she's quite right. So it's just ops normal here. It really is. But to kind of catch up on what I have been up to, on Friday, it was on the Andy Bumatai show, and you'll definitely want to check out the YouTube clips that Andy Bumatai has put up online. It was aired on K5 at 9:35 here in Honolulu. So I was watching the traffic on the website during the show, had some good traffic from that, and then we'll see how much the YouTube stuff takes off. I had a good discussion with some folks on there. Of course, Ryan Ozawa was one of the folks that was on. Another gentleman from the Mountain Apple Company here in, or is it Apple Mountain? One of the two. It's a record label. And, of course, talking with Andy about talking about new media. So it was a fun show, and I had a great time with the gang there. Ryan does the Lost podcast. He actually called The Transmission. So many of you probably know about Ryan's show. Definitely check it out. If you just Google The Transmission and Lost, you'll find his podcast. But spent some time down in Chinatown on Saturday. It's the, of course, it was over the weekend, was the Chinese New Year. And forged through crowds of, it was unbelievable how many people were down in Chinatown. We should have went down during the day. It was, it was crazy. It really, really was. The number of people that were down there was just totally insane. But as you all know, I've been working on the videos for what we did at CES, and I've posted some digital experience videos up. Some of those have started to pop online. I've actually gotten done with day one content. We're now into day two. Now, this isn't even show content. This is just CES unveiled, digital experience, And then within probably the next 2 or 3 days, we'll actually get into day one CES video coverage. Well, huge, huge response on those of you that are actually subscribed to the video feed and are actually getting the number of downloads in. I've been putting those out. Those are trailing what's on the website, okay? And I'm doing that on purpose because if I put too many up at one time, the folks that are downloading them will miss them. So I just wanted to let you know about that. So lots of great content there, and some stuff that we put on there just tonight. I put up tonight was an NVIDIA Ion interview that Anna McCaskey did. I had an interview with the folks from Citrix on GoToAssist. The second night of when we were at Digital Experience, that was the night I was feeling probably the worst. And I spent a lot of time behind the camera instead of doing interviews, and Andy was nice enough to kind of carry the flag for us that night. So you'll see a lot of Andy in the videos, and of course, Jeffrey from Geekazine.com will be in some of the videos as well. We have had a few videos that got cut off at the end, so I apologize for any of you that are seeing a little bit of, you know, like maybe missing the last 5 seconds of the video. Trigger Man got a little happy on stopping the recording at times, so that's kind of what happened there. Hey, the week ahead, Friday, I get on an airplane and I head to Japan. It'll be a morning flight. I get into my destination, I guess, about 9:30 in the evening, Japan time. It'll be the following day, so I actually get in, I guess, Saturday evening, leave here Friday morning, and then I'll start setting up. Expect to have my digital data device and my phone for Japan. It'll be coming in here in the next day or two. That will, of course, if you just dial my regular cell phone number, you'll get me in Japan on my Japanese phone that I'll have, the rental that I have. So looking forward to heading out. But I got a lot of stuff. I've got taxes. I've got 1099s. I've got, just a huge list of stuff that I have to get done. I have to meet with my CPA. I mean, it'll be crazy. But it'll start a 3-week grand tour in the land of Japan. And probably be bringing some special stuff when I'm there. Should be a lot of fun, and I really look forward to it. Okay, this will be the first time the show has went international. And so I'm trying to think of something special to do. Oh, and I got to tell you this. I'm sitting around the other night watching TV, and I saw something on a television show. And my mom was sitting there with me. I said, "Mom, look at that. And she looked at it. And I said, "What if I changed my logo on my website to use a single element of what I've just seen?" And she's like, "Whoa, that would be cool." So I have, I want to spill the beans so bad. You guys know me. But there is going to be, Brian's working on it. And the new site design is almost ready for a reveal. And those of you that have signed up to get the site image of what the new site's going to look like will probably see the new logo before everyone else. I am totally jazzed. I really am. And it's really going to take the Geek News Central theme to a new level. And I'm totally spazzed about it. I really am. Hey, let me go ahead here, and let's. You guys are all here for some tech, but let's take care of a little business first. Hey, we're drawing near the end of the month, okay? And some of you probably have domain renewals, and if you do, when you get over to GoDaddy.com, a good domain renewal code is COMSALE. But don't forget me when you're going out there and sharing the information about the show with people. Make sure you share my promo codes. Put them up in the anywhere that you can share them. I'd love to have you guys post them. That helps keep the lights on here. And you can see they're still on, and that's largely because of you guys. GoDaddy.com is a longtime sponsor here. We're going into year number 4 in May. It'll be a 4-year anniversary of that. So if you're looking for domain name, dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, or a shared hosting account, GoDaddy.com has what you need. Use the promo code TODD. That'll save you 10%. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. And the best one yet is the Todd 20. This is a hot one. This will save you a 20% on 1-year shared hosting accounts. Almost free. That's how big of a discount. It's not free, but obviously the 20% off on a 1-year shared hosting account, depending on what size you get, is a significant savings affordable to anyone. And with economic times we're in, it's all about being affordable, and GoDaddy.com really has what you need. So thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here. Hey, we've got the, of course, we've gotten some good response on the CES wrap-up that we did over at TechPodcast.com. All those videos are up and online at TechPodcast.com. When you go on to the main website, just click on the link on the main page. It'll take you to the video page, and you'll be able to watch our CES wrap-up show that we did the weekend following CES. Of course, GoToMeeting is a sponsor for, was one of our sponsors for going out to the show, and of course is a sponsor here at this podcast as well. Of course, that event is sponsored by GoToMeeting. So really, GoToMeeting is affordable. Did you know that $300 is the average cost of a domestic round-trip ticket? You should see what my plane ticket to Japan is. $49 is the GoToMeetings monthly rate. That's right. Hundreds of online meetings per month is less than one in-person meeting with GoToMeeting. Hold as many meetings as you want for one flat rate. Free voice IP and phone conferencing includes business included. Business travel is a profitability killer, so do more and travel less with GoToMeeting, the award-winning online service brought to you by Citrix. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit www.GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/techpodcast for a free trial. All right, thanks for GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Geek News Central Podcast. Okay, we've got lots of tech, lots of stuff in the news today, some good, some bad, some indifferent. Of course, I want to welcome all of you that are on Ustream that are checking the show out. If you're new, I want to make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out the website there. That's where all the primary content is. The podcast link is over there. Subscribe to the RSS feed via iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. That's how 99.999% of the people that listen to this show get the podcast delivered directly to their inbox or their podcatcher immediately following the show when I put it up every Tuesday and Friday. And make sure you get subscribed to the show. That's the best way to get it, so you won't miss a single episode. All right, let me go ahead here, and let's load Feed the Demon. That is the RSS aggregator that I use to really find all the articles that I talk about, and it was minimized, so it's loading here. And this first article I'm going to start off with, we're going to go right out to the UK. And we got a number of UK listeners, actually a huge number of UK listeners, about 13 or 14% of you are from the UK. And but UK's official ISP disconnection, okay, UK official, this is how the title of the article is, UK official, ISP disconnection not part of the three-strike plan. Now, the RIAA here in the United States is trying to implement a three-strike plan, but in the UK, UK's intellectual property minister suggests that internet disconnections won't be on the list of possible sanctions on file swappers due to both the legal issues involved and the proportionality of the crime and punishment. Now, I think this is the thing that's important here. Now, you know that what's going on is the RIAA equivalent in the UK is working with ISPs to basically send nasty letters to people that are using peer-to-peer and downloading what they say is copyrighted material. But this UK intellectual property minister is suggesting that sharing songs is a bit like taking the bar of soap from a hotel room. Now, I think this is just that's the quote of the night right there. Sharing songs, he suggests, is a bit like taking the bar of soap from a hotel room. Well, they're going to be dealing with file shares in a variety of different ways, but ISP disconnection is not part of it. And I think that's interesting. Now, the question really the question here is, what are they going to do? Are they going to throttle these folks? Are they going to, you know, what are they going to, are they going to block them so they can't use peer-to-peer? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. They don't say it in the article. The 2006 Gowers report suggested that the music industry and ISP voluntarily work on an agreement, but that the government step in if such a deal couldn't be reached. And of course, last summer, a voluntary memorandum of understanding was signed, and ISPs agreed to pass along notifications from content owners, but no penalties were in place, and ISPs made it clear that they had no intention of disconnecting paying customers on their own initiative. The government would need to order it, and the government is saying we're not going to do it. So those of you that are using peer-to-peer in the UK, hoo-hoo, it's good news. But again, what are they going to What are they going to do? What are they going to do to those? And that's probably the question of the night for all of you in the UK. What are you guys hearing on your side of the fence, or your side of the pond, I guess, on what they're going to do? Are they going to throttle users, or is it just going to be, okay, you've been a bad boy, stop, stop, stop? A little bit more news on the some of DMCA-type front, I guess. Warner Music Group has been sending DMC takedown notices to YouTube. Now, of course, this should not come as a surprise to anyone. But one of their own bands called Death Cab for Cutie, and I'm sorry, I guess I am getting too old, but I have no idea who that band is. I probably should go check them out and see if their music's any good. But Warner Group sent a DMC takedown on a couple of videos that the Death Cab for Cutie had put up on their website. And the takedown notice essentially rendered their video on their website useless. And basically when the webpage loaded, it says the video is no longer available due to a copyright claim by Warner Music Group. So the band put their own video up online, and you know, Warner's pulled it down, you know. Oh, talk about shooting yourself in the foot. Now, what it was that the videos, the two videos that the Death Cab for Cutie had put on their website, was a video that had been put up by a fan or somebody else, but it wasn't one that was officially sanctioned by Warner Music Group. But, you know, if I was that band leader, I think I would have to have a talk with somebody at Warner. Of course, there's probably nothing they could do because they've sold their soul to those folks, and Warner owns the copyright, I'm sure, on all of their material. All right, Congress has been busy here. They're making all kinds of preparations to put all kinds of new rules into effect. And Congress is proposing a bill to make cell phone cameras go click. Well, I thought they already did. You know, this is what they're trying to do, is they're trying to stop these peeping Toms and upskirt people from, or, you know, people having a camera in a locker room, from making, you know, basically the camera needs to make a click noise. Cha-ching! Well, I know my iPhone does that, but how many, you know, are they going to do this with just a regular camera where they're making a normal camera make this noise? I don't know, but it's totally indicating here that it's supposed to be for camera phones. Now, I've never seen a camera phone that didn't make a noise, make that shutter sound when a picture is actually being taken. Now, here's a question. You know, if you're using a regular full-body camera, what do you hear? Click. That's it, right? You don't hear anything else with a full-body camera. Now, when you had film in it, because you heard it auto-wind forward. But with a digital full-body camera, it just goes click, which could be very well overcome by, you know, locker room shower or noise on the street. People wouldn't hear that. Now, obviously, the camera's a lot bigger, but a new bill is going to require all cell phone cameras to make the shutter click noise. So you will be warned that there's a peeping Tom trying to take a camera picture when he or she is not supposed to. So we'll see here. And it's going to be called the Camera Phone Predator Alert Act, House Resolution 414. And it's been introduced by Representative Peter King, a Republican of New York. So we'll see. We'll see how this one goes, and we'll see if this one goes forward. Do you think this is a good one or not? I'd love to hear your feedback on this. Can't go a show without talking about the RIAA and some of the antics they're up to. The RIAA is seeking sanction against the Harvard Law School professor who's having some success against them. Now, he's the guy that was able to – and, of course, this has been appealed, so the first hearing isn't going to be for, like, another month, while the appeal for the actual running live video cameras in the courtroom while the case is being undertaken. So they're going after him because obviously he's having some success against them. So they're filing a complaint about some guy that's being, you know, basically brought in as an expert witness or something. Anyway, you know, they're just up to their normal dirty tricks trying to do things and delay and, you know, run up the bill, I'm sure, on this person that is going against them. IE8, it's on the street. It's available as a beta. So Microsoft is stepping up the browser battle here. And, you know, think about it. It hasn't been that long since IE7 was released, and they're already got a beta for IE8. You look at what's going on with Windows 7. Someone has definitely learned a thing or two out of the Steve Jobs playbook, because they are like releasing stuff at an amazingly fast rate. So they say, Microsoft says, we have made the IE8 the best browser for the way people really do use the web. Okay. Microsoft, of course, needs to say these things because Firefox, Chrome, and Safari continue to eat away at the IE dominance. Matter of fact, people visiting my website are predominantly Firefox users. So we'll see what happens here. But what they've done is they've improved security. Microsoft's making much of its security enhancement, which they're saying is going to make IE8 the most secure browser. They're going to have in-private filtering, which means users can see and block when a third-party content provider might be tracking their activities. They're going to have in-private browsing as a major improvement, which allows users to start a browsing session during which history of sites viewed will not be recorded. Of course, what's being said here, and some bloggers are actually nicknamed this mode the adult website mode, because it keeps online activities secret and prevents those with access to a PC from seeing where other users of the same PC have been. Not good for my kids, because there's definitely going to have to be an override on that. If there isn't, it's not going to be used on any of my machines. There's going to be all kinds of, basically anti-phishing codes. There's also performance increases in the way the web browser loads. So if you're looking for the beta, it's available. It's almost ready. That's kind of the word on the street. So download it. Let me know what you think. I'll be testing it out. And by the way, I got a little bit of an update for you guys. I have successfully installed Ubuntu and Windows 7 on a PC here at the home. So those of you that are Linux users, yes, finally, I have followed through on my promise I made a while ago to install Ubuntu on a laptop. And so far, the experience has been good. It was kind of funny because a gal I know, she had done the same thing over the weekend, and she was actually talking about it today, and it was having some issues. And I was kind of laughing privately, and it was kind of weird that we both had done that. But Windows 7, whoa. Linux. You got a lot of catching up to do. It's okay. I'm not that overly excited yet. So again, I'm just a couple days in here. So we'll see how it goes. But I'm impressed with what Windows has done with Windows 7. I'll start be talking about that a lot more here in the near future. Okay, probably the biggest news since we've last visited with one another, Zune sales have gone into reverse. And Zune business revenue fell by $100 million or 54% in the fourth quarter from the previous year. And this is really, really bad news, especially on a podcasting side. I'm really worried because the large majority of growth we've seen in new listeners, new viewers coming into the show is from the Zune. High amount of a large number of increases. And this is across the board. We're seeing a lot of the podcasts that are associated with Raw Voice, Blueberry Tech Podcast, and so forth, gaining major market share from Zune listeners and not losing, Apple iTunes users. And so I'm worried about what's going to happen here with the Zune. There's going to be massive layoffs. I think they said like 1,300 or 1,400 people maybe in the new media or media division of Microsoft alone. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. I've gotten some emails from some folks, and we're really worried about some people's jobs right now. So we'll keep our fingers crossed here, but we'll see what happens. But, again, they've got the best deal going. They really do. Say what you will about the player. You pay that, buy that Zune Pass, you get 10 free songs a month. So the service costs $4.95, and you can upload unlimited music to the device. Anything that's in their library, you can have on the device and use. And you get 10 free. My daughter, oh my gosh. You know, she doesn't get enough allowance to spend to buy 10 songs. She's stoked. You know, she gets her 10 free songs every month. She's very happy camper. And so I'm sad to see what's going on with the Zune. We'll see. We'll see what happens. And I hope that Microsoft doesn't completely pull the plug. But if they're down 100 million, that's huge. It really, really is. Little news from Citrix. Of course, disclaimer here. Citrix is a sponsor here with with GoToMeeting. But Citrix has invested in a desktop virtualization startup. Citrix has been kind of in a buying spend here, and it's been doing it by redefining itself as a virtualization company. And they bought a computer called Virtual Computer, which was founded in 2007. And it's an application that focuses on provisioning, publishing, and patching of desktop and laptop operating systems. So Virtual Computer, whose next top software is in beta, is based on the open source Zen software, exits stealth mode in September, and on Monday is announcing Citrix as a key investor. So I'm going to have to go look at these folks and see what they're doing. But, you know, one thing Citrix is very good at, it's isolating their competition, and they do that with money. So, you know, they suck up all these good companies into the fold, and they've got a heck of a product line. They really do. So a little news on that. Hey, hackers have Hackers have exploited one of President Obama's websites. It's a social networking site operated by the campaign, serving up malware to unwary visitors. A full week after the tactic was reported, which is being reported in a security article, the website, and I don't go to this because, again, it's serving up malware. It's at mybarackobama.com, is being used by hackers to try to dupe users into downloading a Trojan horse. So be very, very careful out there, you know, and hopefully the someone at the administration or someone that actually works the campaign side of things will get this cleaned up or shut it down or whatever. But the group behind this is one of those groups infecting people with fake antivirus software. It's called Scareware Programs. And what they end up doing is the victims end up paying $40 to $50 for a worthless piece of software. That unless you pay the bounty, you end up getting deluged by pop-up warnings. So be aware of that, and you know, keep the folks that are over there. If you know people are using that website, spread the spread the word of warning out. Okay, the internet has hit a major milestone, surpassing 1 billion monthly users, and Google, Microsoft, and Yahoo were the most popular in the world in December. But they're saying that the number of worldwide users has passed 1 billion mark for the first time, according to the online researcher Comscore Incorporated, with about 18% of the total global internet users. China had the largest online audience with 180 million. That's amazing. The U.S. came in second one with 163 million users, while Japan housed the third largest online audience with 60 million users. You know, that surprises me. That Japan was third. I thought Korea, well, maybe Korea doesn't have that big of a population, but what, you know, in Japan, everyone is our cell phone maniacs, you know? And has things changed? We're going to find out. When I go back, I'm going to find out what's going on in the land of, you know, in Japan for internet usage, because I wonder if those 60 million. What percentage of those were actually getting the internet over their phones? So 1 billion, pretty impressive number if you think about it. 1 billion people on the internet. That's just amazing. All right, well, in the most stupid thing that has been done in a long time, and this is my first crack here at smacking down the administration, and again, I'm trying to be very positive about what they're doing. The administration has asked the Senate to delay switch to digital. Has asked to delay the switch to digital TV and push it out until June. You know, we're switched here in Hawaii. We're already on. No one's crying over here. I haven't seen nothing in the news about issues. Give me a break. how much time have people had to know that this digital transition was going to happen? And now they're proposing, I guess, that they're a four-month delay to the deadline to extend it to June 12th. And I guess the House is preparing similar legislation. Get on the phone. Get on the phone and call your representative and tell them this is the most stupid thing that they could do. Because what this is going to impact, this is going to impact all those companies that are getting ready to take up that digital space, that frequent, that bandwidth that's, or that RF spectrum that's opened up. It's going to delay stuff from Qualcomm. It's going to delay stuff that's going on with MediaFlow mobile TV service. And then plus, all these TV stations are saying, hey, we were giving up rentals of towers. We were ready to walk away from this thing. If you haven't switched, tough. I can't believe it. All right. Should have the administration asked for the delay? One, should the administration have not asked for the delay? And do you guys care? Love to hear your feedback on this. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. And, you know, my mom lives in the country. There is no cable. Up until maybe 10 years ago, she had an antenna on the roof and got her TV via whatever was available, five or six channels. My grandparents have no cable, have no dish. They get their stuff over the air. But guess who was smart enough to say, hey, we need a converter in their house. Get one set up. Now my grandfather's dead, but my grandmother's blind. But my mom's brother, who lives with them, can watch TV. So my mom's actually going to put dish in now, just because it's make it to give him a little more selections. But you know, all of us are smart enough to go back to our family members and say, "Hey, have you bought a converter?" You know, come on. I just don't get it. I really don't. So maybe I'm overreacting. But you know, let's move on. Let's get out of this analog life. Let's go digital, baby. Okay. And a little bit, you know, in more sad news, tech layoff parade continues. Texas Instruments announced 12% cut in workforce. There was Sprint announced a huge cut, just huge numbers. I think there was like 50,000 people that were laid off today alone. Again, let me remind everyone, if you're a listener of this show and you have been hit by the layoff bug and you are in the job hunt mode, you need to promote yourself on this show. And tell me what your qualifications are. Send me your resume. Send me a, you know, let me know what kind of work you're looking for, whether you're willing to move, because this is a huge audience. And I will be able to say, John in Tulsa is a this, and he's looking for work in this, and is anybody hiring? And let's keep the networking going within the Ohana here. And let's see if I can hook some people up and get some people some jobs. I want to be able to say we were able to get someone hired on this show that is out of work. All you got to do is send me a comment, geeknews@gmail.com. You know, kind of put it in a, this is what's happened, this is what I'm looking for type of a letter. And let's see if we can connect some people up. This is what we need to do here. So I hope no one in the audience is part of this layoff today or facing a layoff here in the very near future with the companies you work in. But anyway, I'll keep on moving on. Hey, the Windows 7 beta was supposed to expire. They were supposed to shut down the download, but they've extended it through February 10th. So if you haven't got it yet, I'll have a link up today in the show notes where you can go get it. So make sure that you, if you're looking to play around with Windows 7, go ahead and get that download whenever you can. And someone was actually saying on Ustream, hey, the forum section, yes, the forums are still there. They're not being used that much, but the forum section would be a good place. And maybe what I'll do is, you know, just put it in the regular forum area and should work out just fine. Okay, I think what's going on here, Feed Demons drive me crazy. I'm getting a little pop-up. And okay, it's doing an update. And when it does, it let me cancel all updates. All right. I think I've done that, so it shouldn't be updating anymore. Okay. Verizon has introduced, those of you that are Verizon wireless customers, Verizon has launched its own, what they're calling Femtocell, I guess F-E-M-T-O-C-E-L-L, Femtocell product to improve in-home cell phone reception. The unit costs $249 up front. There's no monthly fee. So what this is a network extender. So you have to enter your zip code to view the product details, see if it's available in your area. But it's designed to improve the performance of Verizon wireless phones where they hurt the most, I guess, in homes. And the Verizon extender creates a small single-cell mobile network for use in home and buildings and pushes users' calls and data servers back out to Verizon using existing broadband internet connection. So these are cool, but I like what T-Mobile's got better. $10. I have this little device in my house here, and I plug it into my internet connection, and it's just like a voice IP connection. I have a regular phone that's tied to it, and I don't get charged minutes. The long distance is free. And oh, it's actually $5, but it's $10 because I do international and get a six cents a minute plan to Japan or something like that. But so, you know, $5 a month. And I get unlimited calls on my regular home phone, and I don't have to use my cell battery when I'm out and about. But Verizon has got this now. It's available for $249, and it's supposed to compete with T-Mobile at Home Service and Sprint's AI Rave. And AT&T is also preparing a product called Microcell that is going to offer a similar service as well. So we'll see what happens with this in the near future. Hey, one thing I want to say about AT&T, a friend of mine who had a Gen 1 iPhone who had it hacked and was running a T-Mobile SIM like I am, said, hey, Todd, guess what? I switched up to AT&T. I wanted a 3G fast service. And, oh, that's great. We talked about it for a little bit. He says, my bill only went up $20. And I says, oh, he says, yeah, me and my wife got a AT&T. We both got iPhones, and my bill's only $160 a month. I said, huh? $160? Are you? I was like, wow. You know, I've got three phones on T-Mobile. I've got EVDO. I've got Edge turned on. I have a messaging plan. I get 2,000 minutes. And my bill's still $130 now with the $10 a month or thing that I'm getting with the T-Mobile at home. You know, AT&T, definitely not a cost-saving service. Cool to have the extra capability with the iPhone, but at $160 for two phones with 1,400 minutes? No way. All right, a friend of mine said, Todd, I've heard you on the show talking about this thing called Boxy. He says, I'm going to give you some verbal feedback. What in the world is Boxy? You've talked about it three or four times. What is it? Okay. The Boxy platform is one that is pretty unique. It'll work on Apple TV or on Macs. And what it essentially is, it allows you to get streamed video from services like Hulu, a YouTube, a variety of different IPT services. You can subscribe to RSS feeds. It's basically kind of like an Apple TV on steroids is the best way to describe it. And you got lots of different video options. You can, not on the Apple TV, but on the actual Apple device, you can get Netflix videos streamed into it. It's really cool. And we've talked about it three or four times. You guys, you know, a number of you have said, okay, you're enough spazzing on Boxy. Well, the Boxy team is asking, would you like to see a dedicated Boxy box? Yes. And those of you that maybe don't have a Mac, maybe don't have an Apple TV, I'm telling you, go to this article. I'll have it linked up in the show notes. You will want to go over to Boxy and say, yes, we want a standalone box. This would be big. And really, I think they need to go to this because how long is Apple TV going to put up with their shenanigans? Basically sticking a USB stick in the back of the device and rebooting the machine and essentially taking over the Apple TV. I don't know if they're, you know, if they'll try to program them out of the box or not. You know, they've had problems in the past. But, excuse me. It's definitely growing in popularity here. So definitely send a message to them through their survey and say, yes, we want a box. I already have done mine. Please, please, our standalone box. So please alone do that. And again, Boxee, BOXEE.TV. All right, how many of you are familiar with DivX? DivX 7 has been released. It adds H.264, AAC, and a MKV container support, which is good news here. Costs $20 if you want to pick up the latest DivX, latest software release. It's called DivX Pro 7 for Windows XP. And again, encoding at 1080p HD with H.264 and AAC. I really like the DivX Plus HD format. They seem to really have a great encoder. And I'll be playing with it a little bit here. But, you know, it does fast frame accurate seeking. It'll do a real-time handling of interlaced H.264. Lots of cool things that are available in the DivX. Allows to have a rich cinematic experience on your computer with this code. You know, most of the stuff you see at the movie houses or you go to a theater has been encoded in DivX. So definitely check it out. And for $20, you know, they used to make it free, available free, but they charge $20 for this update. Okay, the ongoing Mac is better than a PC, PC is better than a Mac. War continues. I think it's pretty funny. There's a good interview here about two diehard zealots. One's a PC user, one's a Mac user. So with 25 years of Apple coverage over at Extreme Tech, they thought, what a not a better way to celebrate than to cozy up next to fire and have a flame war. So I'll share this with you guys. And so why don't you guys, why don't we do our own little flame war? Let's have a little fun here. PC users, tell me why the Mac, excuse me, PC users, tell me why the PC is better than the Mac. And, you know, come up with something substantive, not just pointing fingers. And Mac users, you guys come up with something that tells me why the Mac is better than a PC. Let's have our own little fun flame war and good fun as part of the audience. And maybe I'll take like 20 entries, okay? And from those 20, I'll pick out maybe like 10. I'll take 20 Mac, 20 PC, and take 10 from each and read the best ones. So, all right, those of you that are hardcore Mac fans, those of you that are hardcore PC fans, this is your chance to have a little bit of a fun flame war here on the Geek News Central podcast, and should be a lot of fun. Send those emails in, geeknews@gmail.com, or if you want to make your point on the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. Okay, well, those of you that are Mac OS X users and you're out there searching for free software on peer-to-peer networks, hey, you know, we talked about what's being released. It was the iWork 09 Trojan. Well, the Trojan has also been moved over into Adobe Photoshop that's currently in circulation on the peer-to-peer sites. So be forewarned here that this Trojan is out there live and well and looking to get you. So if you're downloading stuff and installing it, be forewarned that I'm getting attacked by a bug here. He's dead. So again, the Trojan disguises itself as part of the applications installer package. Excuse me. Once installed on the system, the malware launches a backdoor program, which allows an attacker to remotely access a targeted system. Time for a shot of water here. Sorry about coughing in your ears, folks. All right, so anyway, beware of that. And there's actually been a post up on McAfee as well talking about it. So if you want more information, you can. I'll also have a link up to a PC World article that looks at IE8 in a more close way. So I have that linked up in the show notes. Over on the Register, yeah, some I have to really be careful about what I pull off the Register. Sometimes articles are, you know, pretty good. Sometimes they're just puff pieces. But an American security consultant who stole hundreds of thousands of online bank passwords did it by employing a massive botnet that he often administrated from work. Is getting ready to face face the judge on sentencing, and there's been a request for a minimum of a 60-month sentence followed by 5 years of supervised release. Came in the case of John Kenneth Schaefer, of Los Angeles, who in November 2007 admitted he was the hacker alternatively known as Acid and Acid Storm, and wielded a 250,000-strong computer bot army. And so he's facing 5 years in the slammer. So fair warning to those that are running bot networks, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. So what do you think? Do you think you should get 5 years? Is, you know, stealing bank passwords? Doesn't say how much money he was able to siphon away from people. That isn't mentioned. But 5 years? Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. What do you guys think? All right. A 10-meter-wide asteroid named 2009 BD, discovered earlier this month, is making a slow pass of the Earth, coming within a relatively close 400,000 miles, or 644,000 kilometers of our planet. The near-Earth asteroid poses no threat to us, but it is an oddity worth studying. So scientists are pretty jazzed about being able to get a close look at this thing. So doesn't say what day it's actually making the pass. Does it in this article? It says it's soon, but anyway, 400,000 miles, yeah, you know, in a 10-meter wide asteroid, that would probably make a big splash, don't you guys think? So have that link up in the show notes here. Okay, hey, you know, you guys know that you guys seen that picture of President Barack Obama? It's a red, white, and blue picture with underneath it says hope. It was a picture that's been making rounds on a lot of T-shirts and was used by non-campaign people during the campaign. Well, that picture was actually a copyright infringement. It was stolen from a AP journalist. Now, while the journalist is happy that it was used by the people that made the basically what's being made out of, a lot of T-shirts are being put on, the AP is trying to decide whether or not they are going to go after the individual that created, actually stole the picture, and it may have a copyright infringement case going on here. So, yeah, interesting what people are doing here with other people's intellectual property, but the journalist is not. He doesn't care, but the AP, we'll see what they do. Okay, on an article here on Wired, and this is loading up slow. The first view of the dark side of the sun. Now, that's kind of a funny comment, but, you know, we can only see this side of the sun, right? But soon we may get the first ever glimpse of the dark side of the sun. NASA is launching a satellite that is going to be behind the sun, and then we'll relay images back. This is actually, there's going to be three satellites where they're going to be able to see 360. See, the view will come online in 2011. It says right now the satellites, which were launched in October 2006, are about 90 degrees apart, which allow a picture of about 270 degrees of the sun. Okay, so the one's going to go completely behind so they can get the other half. That makes sense. So 2011, I guess we're going to be able to see the backside of the sun, which is interesting. Now, here's the question. Those of you that are astronomy geeks, does the sun rotate? I don't know. Or does it just stay stationary? That's a question that I don't know. Maybe someone can answer that. Okay, we'll continue to move on here. Let me look at the time. Yeah, we're doing good. Another Wired article. In a push for a more efficient, cleaner environment, President Obama has ordered that by 2011, new mileage standards be invoked on the car manufacturers. Of course, the car manufacturers are screaming bloody murder with the economy the way it is, and saying that they're going to cause $1 million of new engineering is going to have to be done. But the goal is by 2020, with this new policy, to have every vehicle, car and truck, to at least 35 miles per gallon by 2020. Now, I don't know. You know, some of these pickup trucks, I think they get about 3 miles a gallon. So that's be a pretty big order there. But I don't know what the new requirements are by 2011. and how much more of a efficiency he wants out of vehicles, but that's something he enacted today. So I'm sure that's going to make the unions real happy, and we'll see what happens with this, but efficiency out of these vehicles. Google has made a response and through a interview with Mashable on the issues they've been having with FeedBurner, and it really doesn't, you know, the questions the folks at Mashable asked were pretty weak. Talked about revenue, talked about RSS ads, talked about accuracy, talked about integration with stats and analytics, talked about email subscribers, update speed, but it really didn't talk about some of the core issues that they were having with FeedBurner and people's feeds essentially going dead for days on end. So those of you that are FeedBurner users, I know there's a lot of you, and you know you guys heard me on my rant the last show. You can take a look at this interview by Mashable on basically Google's response to that. All right, how many of you still have LPs? Those of you that have them know them, but did you know there's a new turntable out that rips your vinyl records straight to CD? It's a product made by Zion, and quite honestly, I've got quite a few LPs, and if this thing isn't too much, this would be a lazy man's way of ripping all of my LPs that I had to CD, but I don't know. I'd probably buy it, do it, and then sell the thing on eBay. But if you're looking to rip any LPs, this might be a pretty good device to get. Don't know what the price. Oh my goodness. No. Nope. $490. I'll pass. I'll do it the hard way, or the, you know, geeky way. All right. iLife 09 is shipping tomorrow, or actually today. And so this is a major upgrade to iPhoto, iMovie, and GarageBand. So it'll be available. Price for the upgrade is $99. You can get that online, or you get it at Best Buy tomorrow, or you actually at an Apple store. So that's up on, it'll be available tomorrow. Hey, CNET is running a survey. How to be the most hated person on the internet. 5 role models. This is very funny. I'm going to read the first part of this article. Dave Weiner believes he is one of the most hated people on the internet. We tip our hats to him. It's quite an achievement. Considering all the trolls, jerks, and narcissists, yes, me too, who post like crazy on the web, it's no mean feat to be hated by so many. But there can only be one who is the most hated. And we wonder how one goes about achieving that distinction. Restricting the discussion to technology personalities who are active contributors of original content, we come up with 5 contenders and what we think they're doing so well that we can all learn from them. So obviously, you can vote. Dave Weiner is a participant in this poll. Michael Arrington, of course, of TechCrunch. Jason Calacanis, who, by the way, quit blogging, but if you've watched his blog, he's posting pictures to his blog. Lauren Feldman, many of you probably know who Lauren Feldman is. He's a slightly grouchy video blogger that works at 1938 Media. And then Owen Thomas. So he's over at ValleyWag. So who do you think I voted for? I'm not going to tell you, but I voted for one of these guys. And I'm not going to tell you who is winning because they reviewed the poll to me after I voted. So go over there and vote. This is on CNET. Have the link up in the show notes. I think you guys will get a crack out of this. Hey, found an article over on Boing Boing. It's the Motorola Museum, pictures from the Motorola Museum. So all of you super geeks out there will like that. And also I found a very cool picture documentary of an industrial area that's been abandoned. It's just all these kinds of, you know, I'm kind of fascinated by these types of pictures. And so I'll have this up in the show notes for you guys to take a look at. All right, we're at 53 minutes, almost 54 minutes in the show. And I'm going to go ahead here, and I've got one voicemail comment, and then we'll get into the emails, and then I'll talk a little bit here in the show with the audience on Ustream, and my doggy's outside. He's barking. You can hear him. Maxie. So let me go ahead and play the see, this is what live to hard drive is, and he's obviously anyone that walks by the house. He has an issue, so, hey, you know, he's not listening to me. Let me go ahead and play the first voicemail, and then I'll mute the mic and get him to be quiet.
Hey, Todd, Brian from Pennsylvania. I just spoke with you one voicemail a couple weeks ago. But a couple things on the last show. One, you asked about anybody running Windows 7. I'm running Windows 7 actually on my main computer at work because I got the beta, reused it at home, and thought I'd give it a shot in production. It is very stable. I've only had a couple very, very small issues with it. But, yeah, I hope it does, you know, I'll do Vista in the long run. And also, I had an issue. I know down there in Hawaii you're stuck with Time Warner. But I just recently acquired a new job a couple months ago, and we are in an internet dead zone. And the only internet we can get is from the local provider, the local phone provider, which is 256K DSL, which does not meet our needs whatsoever. Now, I did inquire with about a dozen local, you know, high-speed providers, Comcast, Verizon, and whatnot, and all of them have told me that they cannot provide service to our location because the local provider has a monopoly, so to speak, on the access in about a 40-mile radius of their location. And other than getting an expensive T1 line or a satellite line, we are out of luck.
Oh, that's
hurts.
Like
I said, the only thing they offer is a 256K connection. I was just wondering if you had an experience, you know, with any or of those, you know, companies that just provide a monopoly, or any of the Ohana had seen any experience with companies that have a monopoly. But I've been told by more than one provider that they cannot provide it because the local provider has access or denies access to any other ISP. Anyway, good show. Thanks for listening, Todd. Bye.
Hey, thank you so much. And I tell you, I think I would become the most annoying people at board meetings, county commissioner meetings, local community meetings. I think I would be the guy that people hated to see come in the room because you knew you're going to complain about broadband. That is ridiculous. Out of curiosity, how metro is – oh, what's going on here? How metro is the area? That's the question. Is it a country area or – or what? Boy, that's just painful. Now, here's the next question. Can you get an EVDO connection? You know, is there a tower there that you can get a wireless connection? At least maybe, you know, while one person's on one machine, another person could be on another. Some people in the audience have done some really wild things in the past. You know, they've almost set up their own, you know, depending on how close you are to the edge of that exclusive zone, have set up like their own like WiMAX repeaters. I know that's a very expensive thing, but some have done that. Boy, oh boy, it's just crazy, yeah, if you think about it. 256. I would become the most hated person that would be at any board meeting in the local area. I'm serious. I would be down there and I would be annoying. I really, really would. Okay, well, maybe the Ohana can give us some hints here and maybe some ideas, and let us know where you live too. That may help as well. If the Ohana has any suggestions for him, please voice my hotline 619-342-7365, geeknews@gmail.com. And keep us advised and be annoying. Write letters to your state representatives. I mean, just, you know, be that thorn in their side, because you know what? It won't change unless enough people complain. In this day and age, 256K, that's just unreasonable. It really, really is. Okay, going to go ahead into the emails here. Got an email from George from Barcelona, Spain. He said, Todd, I've been enjoying your show for just over 2 months now. Don't change a thing. If you do change something, don't listen to the critics. I like your show. As you do it, there is no magic formula for a balanced podcast, e.g. 60% content, 10% non-related, but it's interesting nonetheless. Follow your heart. I thoroughly enjoy your video coverage of Las Vegas, and George, it's still coming. That must have been a lot of work. It's huge. It continues to be a huge amount of work. But anyway, thanks for showing us the video podcast behind the scenes stuff. Us public needs to know what goes into a quality show. All the best for 2009. He says, by the way, I used to listen to Mac Help from Maui until Scott and Carmen threw the towel in after a couple of fabulous years. Glad to see another Hawaii connection and a Mac person to boot. Well, George, I'm more a PC guy than I am a Mac guy, so I hope you know that. Even though I have two Macs and a lot more PCs here, but hey, just, you know, it's a computer. I use it for what I like to use it for. Got an email from Kathy, and Kathy, she says, "Hey, Todd, I love your podcast, and I promise to never again wonder what you're doing when you lift your leg on air. Keep up the did." I don't remember doing that, Kathy. I really don't, but thanks for the Twitter message. I do appreciate it. Got an email from Frank. Is, oh, man, I share your pain. And this is my request for help in getting teenagers woke up. He says, oh, man, I share your pain. The older two were okay, but the youngest, forget it. I never solved the problem with him. 1 year, even had to attend summer school because he missed so much time in one class. The school has this weird rotation schedule of class periods so that a different class started each day on a six-day cycle that it was an He said that was an automatic fail, even though his grades were okay. He's smart, just lazy. So I got to drive him to summer school. I would even try the glass of water into the face trick. That's how desperate I got. Still didn't work consistently. In his case, the solution was he just had to grow up for a couple of more years. I lived through it and know how frustrating it is. Here are some links I found. So those are some good links there, Frank, and I appreciate that. But, yeah, the boy's fine, but my daughter... Oh, yeah, it's we're going through that trial of her testing. I got an email from Terrence, and this one is this one's long, but I wanted to read through it, and Terrence is not happy with me, and the subject is IT Nazis. Really? He said, Todd, I've been listening to your show and following your blog for over 4 years now. This is at least the third time you have made reference to IT staffs as being IT Nazis because they don't open up their networks to allow end users to attach personal devices or install an unapproved software. I was very angry when I read your use of the term in your recent blog, but I waited for your show hoping you would soften the tone a little. No. You chose to continue with the characterization of IT staff as Nazis. As far as the new staff of the White House, having to leave behind their personal devices and social networks, come on, this is the highest level of government we're talking about. There should be no higher security anywhere. As a Navy veteran, you of all people should understand the need for network security. I'm really at a loss for the attitude you convey that IT staffers are only there to make their life miserable for end users. As a network admin, I can tell you that we are constantly torn between our personal love of technology and the latest gadgets and our need to keep a stable, secure work environment. Like it or not, Windows is the predominant environment of corporate world in the U.S. That means constant vigilance to OS and software updates. The most well-meaning of end users will, if given the access, ruin their computer with spyware, Trojans, etc. Most network admins would love to supply everyone the latest and greatest, but it must be balanced with the need to keep production going, keep the vital enterprise software and systems running, and protect vital company and customer data. Throw Sarbanes-Oxley regulations on top of that, and you'll have a full job keeping on top of network security. I'm not paid by the lady in accounting who doesn't understand why she can't open company documents on her personal computer, or by the salesman who wants admin rights on his laptop, then let his kids use it to get the latest Trojan from MySpace, then expose sensitive data to God knows who. No, I'm paid by the company that charges me with keeping that data secure and with smooth functioning of their workflow. If that means that you want to characterize me as a Nazi, then that is your choice. It's also my choice what podcast to subscribe to and which advertisers support or not support. Susabel, longtime listener and contributor to the show, manages network for a college. Do you categorize her as a Nazi as well as because that keeps students' data secure? In the end, it's your show, and you're free to voice your opinion as you see fit. However, if this is a stance you choose to take, then I will take my free choice and unsubscribe from your show. Regards, Mark. Mark, listen. I think it's a term that has been applied very widely by a lot of people on IT staffs. And it's just one of those things. It's one of those nicknames that sadly has been well established long before I started using it. I will say this. I understand the need for security at the highest levels of government. And I understood. I just what the blog post said, welcome to the real world. I understand why networks have to be locked down. It doesn't mean that I like it. But because sometimes the policies put in place are beyond overboard. There are some that think that their sole job in life is to limit the the amount of work that you're able to do on a computer because of their desire to maintain absolute unequivocal control on a PC, to the point of being detrimental to companies' way of earning money. It is beyond insane, some of the things I've seen in the past. Now, do I classify all IT guys? No. It's a general characterization that I made because we all that have ever worked on a corporate network absolutely hate some of the policies. Some of the policies we understand, but there are policies at times that can be absolutely overboard and just absolutely drive me crazy. Now, obviously, if you work in a bank, if you work in a company that has secrets, if you have, you know, they don't want that stuff getting out. And I understand why they want to protect the network. And believe me, I understand the whole thing with what's going on with the administration. I know why they're locked down, okay? So don't get me wrong. So no, you know, in the literal sense of the word, I don't think people that work in the IT are Nazis, okay? But, you know, it's a nickname that's been used. So how should I say this? IT zealots? What's a better word? IT overreactors? It's sadly, there's just a small group. There's always that one guy. There's always that one guy in the company. You hate to see him come in the door because he is the most despised person in the entire – yes, for IT staff, people get along fine. But there's always that one guy that walks in here like, oh, my God, here comes you-know-who. You know, it's just that one – you know, usually that one guy in a company that drives everyone insane. And I think that's where most people's frustrations come in as computer users and having to deal with computer networks that are being so tightly controlled to the point of ridiculousness. I guess that was a Toddism there, but being totally ridiculous. When you can't change the background on a computer, that is just like over the top. You know, maybe it's not. Maybe there's a great reason for a JPEG virus. Who knows? But, you know, some of the stuff I've seen, it's just crazy. It really, hey, I've seen tight networks on when I was in the Navy. Absolutely. Absolutely. I understand completely. And maybe that's part of where my frustration comes in. And but luckily, I'm here on my own PC, and I can do what I want with my own PC, and I can get it infected if I want, and I can go out and get, you know. But boy, oh boy, I'm sure there's, you know, I'm sure this is going to drive some email. But please don't leave the show. We love you guys. You guys keep our networks running, and you do what you have to do, and you have to follow the boss's orders on keeping the network secure. And so don't take me the wrong way. But, you know, I think that sometimes some IT guys need to really take a close look in the mirror and stuff. I really, really I do. There's times where, oh. So anyway. All right, let me move on. And hey, thank you. And we definitely want you part of the audience. Don't leave. Stay around. And absolutely all of our IT people out there, if you took that the wrong way, I apologize. All right, email from Thomas, from Trucker Tom. He said, hey, Todd, remember the old Fantastic Voyage movie? You got to check this out. Yes. Do you guys know what that is? The Fantastic Voyage? This is where it was Raquel Welch and two or three other actors. They were taking a submarine through a blood vessel, a blood vein. That's all I can say. I'm going to link this up in the show notes. You guys are going to be blown away by this article. Yes, it won't be too long before they're going to stick something in us and it's going to go squirreling through our bodies and taking pictures. I got an email from Carl, and he's out in Sweden. He says, hey, Todd, I've written into the show many times before, so you probably know me. I just spotted this incredible offer on the iTunes App Store. It's Panga Software, and they're holding a big sale until the 1st of February on all their games. Games that would normally go for a few dollars now only cost 99 cents. I bought most of them at once, and the name of this is Panga, P-A-G-E-A. I bought most of them at once. One of the games on sale right now, Enigmo, was featured on stage when Apple released their SDK. A great, fun little game with amazing graphics. I know that this sounds like a sales pitch, and I was thinking for a while about if to write this letter at all because of that. But I decided that I wanted to get this out there for all the Ohana that has an iPhone or the iPod Touch. It's just too good an offer to miss out on, and people that are not browsing around all day on the App Store might miss it. Again, it's P-A-N-G-E-A, Panenga Software. And he says, I don't work for Panenga. I'm just a 25-year-old student from Sweden that loves the show. I've been listening to the show since about 9-11. Since when? Since show 211. Jeez. Now, that's interesting when compared with some of the others of your dedicated listeners, but I'm up there. Keep up the great work. And if I could ask something from you, can you roll out the CS videos a little bit faster? I know you're concerned with people not getting all the videos, but last CS, I was still receiving videos like 6 weeks after CS. In all honesty, I think that's too long a gap, but I understand if you want to keep it as it is now. Keep the great work if you want, and have a nice day. Hey, Carl, we are going to roll stuff out faster, and we're trying to push it out faster. My goal is not to be 6 weeks in. The goal is to have as much of it up as we can within 30 days. So I know that's fast approaching, but it's just a matter of time and trying to get everything pushed up. But thanks for the comment. All right, last email here is from – let me look at the time. Yeah, we're okay. This is from Tom in Nampa, Idaho. He said, hey, Todd, I'm in complete agreement with you on the global warming topic. I frequently post comments on the forums in our local newspaper online trying to be sensible with folks who are frothing at the mouth over guys like you and me. The dumbest comment I have had so far is not to confuse the climate with the weather. Huh? My area has had more snow, and it has had the coldest temperatures that I have experienced in my 10 years living here. Some days have set local records. I'm not opposed to being green. However, as I do things like recycle and conserve on my utility bills, it makes sense to recycle, and the lower utilities save me a few bucks. I could make this a 6-page email on this subject if I wanted to, but you only have a little over an hour on your program. Keep up your good work. Love the show, Tom. Hey, Tom, you know, on the environment thing, I think we all need to be concerned, but there's a lot of confusion out there, and I know that some people are on one side of the fence or the other. I'm not saying that we're not experiencing global warming, but I'm not saying we are. And maybe, you know, people are saying now global warming is causing the cold weather, and, you know, vice versa, and blah blah blah. So we'll see what happens. And you know, it's a big world. We'll see what happens, and we're going to be in for the ride regardless. And we can only do our little part. And I guess that's the important thing, is do what we can as individuals. All right, folks, we're at the end here. Lots of great commentary. That was a fun one, wasn't it? As always, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail 619-342-7365. And as always, thanks for being part of the Ohana. Thanks for hanging out with the show. And look forward to bringing the next show. There will be a show on Thursday. And then the next one after that will be from Nihongo, from Japan, and look forward to bringing you that from there. Should be fun doing the show. I don't know how the schedule is going to work when I'm out there. I'm going to have to look at the time difference and see when I can do the show to make sure it gets up at the same time. So, for the next 2 or 3 weeks, the show posting time may slide around a little bit. We'll see how it works out. We'll get a heartbeat of my publishing schedule once I'm out there, and we'll play it by ear. As always, geeknews@gmail.com. Again, the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. We'll see everyone on Friday. Until then, take care and aloha.